This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A little breaking news on this Monday morning. Justin Michael from DNVR Rams just tweeted, Jay Norvell announces that Melquan Stovall has elected to leave the team. Stovall, kind of a big piece to this group. Dante Wright, we talked about last week. Okay, maybe he doesn't fit the mold of what Jay Norvell's looking for. The kicker leaves. Okay, maybe there's some other things going on with him, even, you know, with fans and the program, and maybe not want to play football. I don't know. Melquan Stovall had 5 receptions for 31 yards last week, and we kind of anticipated him being a fairly big part to what CSU is going to do throughout the course of their season. But he has announced that he's leaving the team. Now, again, they can't enter the transfer portal because of the window thing, but they can announce that they're leaving, which isn't that like the same thing? They're announcing that they're leaving. The announcement is out there. If teams are interested in a guy like Stovall, they'll go, log that one away. Whenever he officially enters, we'll go. Most of these guys leave now so they can keep eligibility for another year on top of what they already have. So that's, this is a Nevada guy. He transferred from Nevada. He was with Nevada for 3 seasons. And he had big numbers. I mean, last year he had 56 receptions for 643 yards and a touchdown. Decent numbers, I guess. You know, all right numbers. So far this year he had 13 receptions for 106 yards. Is this a case where a guy like him looks at it and goes, I don't see this offense getting any better, and I don't want to waste this year? Because this is his 4th year. And I don't know what, again, I'm so backwards on COVID year and all that. Do they all, like, if you were playing during COVID year, you get a COVID season, right? Like, Clay Millen doesn't because he was his first year was last year, and again, he redshirted. So Stovall has he has this year and then a COVID year, I believe. That's interesting. CSU 0-3 to start the season. And they have been kind of smoked for 3 games. Sacramento State comes to town, a Big Sky team, going to Canvas Stadium. Make no mistake about it, the pressure is on. It's so bad, dude. CSU's the one. This is weird news for me, though, because I was still kind of like, yeah, I expected this to happen. Washington State beat Wisconsin, so, you know, this team's still going to have to, they got a lot of growing pains to get through. But I kind of felt like maybe the next 4 games, you might see CSU put everything together. Sacramento State, I think Nevada's in that list. Hawaii, Utah State, I don't know the order. I think that's who their next 4 opponents are. Sac State, Hawaii, Nevada, and Utah State. I think. One more non-conference game for Colorado State. We will have the Clay Millen show. And before you ask, I don't know if I'm permitted to ask that question about Melquan Stovall. If I am, I also about 100% sure Clay Millen will not address it. But you know what? That's why you play the game. We'll see what happens. Did you happen to see Rick George's statement, the athletic director for the Colorado Buffaloes, what he put out yesterday, kind of in the midst of the Broncos game, too, so it kind of gets buried. Dear Buffalo supporters, like all of you, I've been disappointed to watch our football team struggle this fall, most recently yesterday at Minnesota. I know that our coaches and our student athletes are capable of so much more. Are they, though? And all that, you deserve better results. I want you to know that I hear you. I recognize and understand your disappointment and you're disappointed and frustrated, and perhaps even angry. We have not come close to meeting our expectations this season, and we own that. I know that Coach Durrell, our coaching and support staff, and our student athletes are working hard to get on track. And with conference play starting this Saturday, we hope we will all enjoy a home victory over UCLA. Regardless of your feelings right now on Colorado football, I encourage you to continue to support our team, our tremendous football student athletes who need your cheers, encouragement, and support now more than ever. That to me just kind of read, you know, it's bad. I'm aware that it's bad. Please keep coming to games. What does that statement do? I think everybody saw the press, like that statement, and thought, ooh, Carl Durrell's gone. And then you read through it and it's like, nah, we know we're bad. Please come to the UCLA game this weekend. UCLA is 3-0. They beat South Alabama 32-31. How good is South Alabama?
Eh, they're not great.
Okay. They beat Alabama State. They're going through the Alabamas.
Also not great.
They beat Bowling Green, who I'm told they don't bowl. They play football. 45-17. So UCLA is not good. What is the spread right now? Do we have that yet? The Buffs are coming in at 21.5-point dogs to the Bruins on Saturday. Don't let me do it again, Angel.
Oh, no.
Don't. I'm already making it. My picks will be on Friday. Angel went 6-0. Maybe you should start doing the picks this week. Don't let me make that mistake again. Done with the Buffs. Not picking the Buffs to cover another spread. Unless it's like 80. Then I'll take the Buffs. Give me 80. Give me 80 points. But 21.5? Mm-mm. Boy, that's scary times, man.
Why even make a statement like that?
Don't know.
If you're not firing the coach, why say that?
Like, we know that you know we're bad. You should. Why are you making...
You know we're bad.
Yeah.
I know we're bad. I know that you know that they know that we know that they're bad. But come on out Saturday. It's going
to
be a good time.
Yeah, we don't need to put a statement out like that, Rick. We just don't. Unless it's like, hey, we're going to be making a move. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. A lot to go here. We're going to see if we can connect with Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. We got the lunch rush later on, a lot of NFL news. Also, the Clay Millen Show will be on at 1 o'clock today. There is a lot to digest in this wonderful state of Colorado. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Four minutes until the top of the hour. The Clay Millen Show is at 1 o'clock. Those shows are going to keep getting more fun because I see some wins in the future for CSU. Although the Melquan Stovall news shakes me a little bit. A little shaken. Shaken, not stirred, though. Not stirred yet. Still a new process for CSU. But this is a Nevada guy transferring over. Ooh, interesting. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that HVAC system up to date. You know what? We're going to be changing over the calendars pretty soon, and it's going to start getting cooler. Make sure the heater's ready to go, too. They can take care of everything. You've had a long summer running that AC. Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure everything is up to date. 970-567-0798. We're going to see if we can connect with Zach Stevens. No confirmation on that yet. He's our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. We also have the lunch rush, either in 5-6 minutes, or we're going to do that at like 12:20 or so. More Broncos aftermath. Where are we with Nathaniel Hackett? The Method Flow Products poll question. Pretty simple today. Have you already lost faith in Nathaniel Hackett? It's been 2 games. And Broncos country's counting down. Literally counting down the seconds to when maybe Nathaniel Hackett is gone. 11:57 the time. Second hour coming up next. 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Why does a win feel like a loss today? The Broncos beat the Texans 16-9, but I feel like the alarms or the alarm bells or whatever are going off even more so today than they did last week after the Seattle loss. And you win. You get the win. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What a wild weekend in the NFL. We'll get to all of the weird comebacks that happened. College football, those games, some of those games were absolutely crazy. Bad stuff happening for local teams. And even with the Broncos winning, it still felt a little bit like a loss, if, at least on Twitter. If you go to Twitter throughout that game, I mean, it was awful. And then you listen to the crowd. I've got some thoughts on the Boo Birds and the counting down and all of that. But our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Have you already lost faith in Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, here's the thing. Vic Fangio, we all agreed, was bad with his clock management, his in-game decisions. But it wasn't like every week we had a glaring issue. I mean, I go back to his career with the Broncos in three seasons. It wasn't every game we weren't going, oh, Vic Fangio strikes again, should have kicked it, should have not kicked it, should have called a timeout. It wasn't every week. So far, in two games, Nathaniel Hackett has messed up several big-time decisions. Obviously, the 64-yard field goal, the missed 64-yard field goal, is the biggest one we're talking about still. But you still had all the delay of game penalties, failing to get the play call in a reasonable matter of time. You are throwing the ball a lot more than you should have when you should have been running the football inside the red zone. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, we just forget who those guys are. You saw last week the decisions that Nathaniel Hackett made already take place. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams fumble against Seattle. So they don't get the ball inside the 10 and the 5 anymore. You could have kicked a 57-yard field goal. Instead, you chose to punt. So you believed in Brandon McManus to kick a 64-yard field goal in Seattle, but not to kick a 57-yard field goal in Denver. So there's a lot of head-scratching moments here surrounding Nathaniel Hackett in just two games in. 54% of the hooligans, again, go vote at thewholeshow.com, are saying, yes, they've already lost faith in head coach Nathaniel Hackett. Angel, do you remember what I said to you before back in training camp? I said, you know, I don't know who it was, but there was belief that a lot of higher-ups in the NFL said Nathaniel Hackett was either going to be a masterpiece of a coach, change the game, or he's going to be absolutely awful. I think we're looking at the latter right now. They win yesterday. Defense played lights out. Giro Evero's defense got much better in that second half. For the most part, defense has been all right. First half against Seattle was bad, but then they corrected it. But right now, and you know, Russell Wilson had an interesting game too. It wasn't perfect by any means. He had rough moments in that game. But I thought he played well in the fourth, despite the bad play calling by Nathaniel Hackett. So have you already lost faith in head coach Nathaniel Hackett? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. And just looking back at this game, the penalties are still atrocious. You're not going to win many games with that many penalties. 13 penalties for 100 yards again. Houston had 8 for 94 yards. Of course, the Broncos had the turnover, the interception by Russell Wilson. Thank goodness for my Zwei Brewing Player of the Week, Cortland Sutton. Yes, he did it again. I love Sutton. I think this is his first Player of the Week for me. Yeah, congratulations. 7 receptions for 122 yards. Almost a touchdown. But it got called off, and then the Broncos settle for a field goal after throwing the ball 2 more times instead of running it. You have a guy, and Javonte Williams had 15 carries for 75 yards. Last week, he averaged 6 yards a carry. This week, he averaged 5 yards a carry. The guy is awesome. Melvin Gordon with 10 carries for 47 yards. He averaged 4.7 yards per carry. But just 25 carries between the two of those guys. You saw Jonathan Taylor for the Colts way less this week. Ooh, the Colts have some issues. But he had 31 carries last week. I'm not getting out of that game without Javonte getting at least 20 carries. And he didn't have the catches like he did the week before. 11 receptions in the week before. That's not Javonte Williams' game, bro. His game is to get the ball, break two tackles, fall forward for at least 4 or 5 yards every time he touches the ball. And Gordon was running well, too. So some big issues, some major issues at this point for Nathaniel Hackett. Now they have San Francisco. And boy, this the storyline for the, you know, I always tell you about the storylines in the NFL, Angel. Like, sometimes things just set up to be the great story. Well, see, for Seattle last week, that set up, whether Drew Locke was in there or not, that set up for a wonderful story for Seattle fans. And then Seattle showed us who they really were, and they're not a good team. But what does that say about Denver? I don't know. Next week, here's the storyline. Trey Lance is out. The guy you decided to go with is out. Jimmy G, luckily, you came in the 11th hour and said, what if it doesn't work out with Trey Lance? Then we still got Jimmy G. So now Jimmy Garoppolo has an opportunity to get the full start again against Denver on Sunday Night Football, primetime television, to go show the world who he really is. You guys should have never went with this Trey Lance situation, and now you got me. So there's the storyline there. So it's setting up a very scary situation for Denver and San Francisco on Sunday night. Text line is first advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want your thoughts on this one. And then the Boo Birds came out. Poor Russ, dude. Like, in 2 weeks, the Boo Birds have been aggressive. In Seattle, we got it. See, Susan and Cheryl are even booing. In Seattle, it made sense. He didn't get the, you know, the video, the tribute video. He didn't get any of that stuff, which sucked. But then he comes to Denver, and you're thinking the crowd's going to go crazy when he runs out with the offense for the first time. But what was it on the kick return? Was there a penalty or was there an injury? There was an injury. So obviously the crowd's like dying down after that first return. And so Russell just kind of walks out there. Doesn't get the standing ovation that we thought we were going to get. Even the commentators mentioned it. Oh, well, I guess crowd, because the play-by-play guy said, oh, and get ready. Russell's going to run out, and this crowd's going to go nuts, and then there's an injury on the field. So they just kind of walk onto the field while they're looking to one of their guys on the ground. So he didn't get that. Crowd was booing pretty early on, maybe even late in the first quarter. And, you know, they continued. And the play-calling decisions, or at least getting the plays in, became such an issue that for the first time in my life, the crowd, a football crowd, the home football crowd, is counting down the play clock. Once it hit 10, they were counting down at the line of scrimmage for the Broncos. And you know what, Angel? I absolutely hated it. I get it. I'm not saying I don't understand it. But you're hurting your offense. Peyton Manning used to pride himself on quieting his home crowd. You could hear a pin drop. It was so quiet. All you could hear was Peyton Manning screaming out, Omaha, Omaha. So here's what I'm cautioning Broncos country. I get it. The world's talking about the fans counting down today. How bad it got. Maybe that message will be received loud and clear by Nathaniel Hackett and company to get something figured out with how you get your play calls into Russell Wilson. But I don't. It can't be something that you continue to do, guys. So if you're going to the game on Sunday night, don't think that it was this cute, adorable thing that you guys are going to be known for now. Because Russell's going to have to make audibles at the line of scrimmage, and they're not going to be able to hear it. You literally had a right guard run into Javonte Williams last week, which caused a fumble. Why? Because he couldn't hear the audible. Which makes sense. You're on the road, hostile environment in Seattle. You don't want that to become Denver, where it's now a hostile environment. I do understand it, though. I get it. But let's let that little gimmick rest. And if Nathaniel Hackett still needs you guys on Sunday night, then what the hell are we doing here? Is he really the guy? It's weird that we're already there. You're 1-1, and we're already debating whether Nathaniel Hackett is the guy. Because why? Because his decision-making has been atrocious through 2 weeks. I don't remember seeing this right off the bat with Vic Fangio. It's a new thing. I mean, keep in mind, Hackett, you know, used to be up in the booth, offensive coordinator, calling out plays in the booth. Now he's on the sidelines. We saw the same thing with Vic. But you're seeing, like, in two games, you're seeing, like, collectively, worse. Nathaniel Hackett is worse than Vic Fangio at this point. Now, I liked the game plan against Seattle much better, but the decision-making was awful. Yesterday, the game plan was still clunky, still bad decisions. Russell Wilson, I thought, played well in the fourth quarter, and the Broncos scored 10 to ultimately walk away with the win. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Rough weekend. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And the good, hey, at the end of the day, we'd all feel a lot worse if this team lost. So the Broncos win. They get the win. Cortland Sutton was amazing. The run game was amazing, although not utilized to its full extent. Denver found a way to win 16-9. Yeah, we like that. We're good with it. At least it's a win. We'd feel a lot worse. Now, Tanner asked on Good Morning NoCo, could you have envisioned a worse start for the Broncos? Yeah, 0-2. 0-2 with all of these issues. At least you walked away with the win. So some silver lining there. And the bad is, I'm going to go with CSU. CSU's the bad. I got this one right. I picked Washington State to cover the 16.5-point spread. They won by 31. It was 38-7, Washington State. No trap game there for the Cougars, as they have Oregon now, who Oregon looked really good against BYU. CSU got another late touchdown. They got a lot of fourth quarter touchdowns now, or late game touchdowns, I should say. Clay Millen is tough as nails. We have the Clay Millen show coming up at 1 today. He'll be joining us by phone because he has a press conference. So we'll be talking to him, thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza. The ugly. Is there any getting around it, dude? This has got to be... Is this the worst CU football team we've ever seen? 49-7. When will I learn my lesson, Angel? The Buffs did not cover, and that was like evident after a minute or two into the second. That was awful. Tanner Morgan for Minnesota, it's not like he was lighting the world on fire, but their run game was. They ran for 334 yards against your Colorado Buffaloes, and we had four quarterbacks in this game for CU. JT Schrout, 4 of 11. Brennan Lewis, 2 of 6. Owen McCowan comes in, 4 of 7. Deion Smith ran for 70 yards. I guess that was kind of neat. That's rough. There it is. The good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Oh boy. So what are we, 1 and 6? 1 and 6 between the Bear, no, 2 and 5. Is it 2 and 5? Is that right? I'm not sure. Rams have lost 3. No, worse than that. It's like 8, 7, 8. What's my math telling me there? You got a 9 there? Is that what it is? 9 losses between all of our teams? Ugh. Just very bad. Very bad. Somebody sneezed out there, and that was the loudest sneeze I have heard in the history of my life. Seriously, wow. That was crazy loud. Did you hear that? It was nuts, man.
Heard that.
That was loud, dude. Good for him. Get that sneeze out there. Greg, that game, to me, was a crack-up. First off, with the fans counting down the clock, reminded me of Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
When they're telling Forrest where to run. And Nathaniel Hackett should change his name, his first name to Kant. Ah! Kant. Hackett. Okay. Greg. Greg, good work. Good work by you. Are the Broncos a playoff team? It is really hard to feel that way right now. If they could have walked out of Seattle somehow and made that kick and go 2-0, the narrative would be, don't know how the hell they're 2-0, but we'll take it. You got to think it's going to get better, right? Nathaniel Hackett can't. Like, these are all obvious things that he's missing. Like, dude, I thought quarterbacks had the little speaker in their helmet thing. Why can't you just say a play to him in his speaker? Why is that not getting in fast enough?
It's a process that shouldn't take 30 seconds to get done.
I've never seen it. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, and I haven't seen a team. You know, I watch football all weekend, but I don't think I've seen a team snap the ball at 1 or 0 seconds more in a game. Like, it's like you're lining up and he's still making calls and audibles with like 3 seconds left. Like, snap the ball.
Like, what are we doing?
You're not even getting, like, you are more unprepared on offense than the defense is.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be opposite.
And when you start snapping the ball at 1 every time, what's the defense going to do? Hey, they know exactly when to go. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen it where it got so bad that the crowd started counting it down. Did the players like that? Did Russell like that? Here's Russell Wilson talking about the crowd counting down the play clock, especially in that fourth quarter.
Russell, have you ever heard a crowd count down the play clock, and did that help or hurt you?
Yeah, that was, I guess that was helpful if needed. You know, I guess they do that in basketball some. You know, I've been around some basketball players and stuff like that. You know, this crowd was amazing, and how they were, especially when the defense was out there, the game on the line. I mean, I know how hard that is as a quarterback, and you hear all that noise and all that tenacity and all that. So that was great that our fans were really into it. And this is a great football crowd, that's for sure.
He says a lot.
But he doesn't really answer the question.
But he did say, you know, it can be hard on a quarterback with all that tenacity. Well, he's talking about the tenacity being toward him and his offense.
Do you like that response of him kind of just brushing that off, kind of just smiling, laughing through it almost? Like, he's kind of living up to that, everything's fine, guys.
Yeah, here's the thing, Angel. You can't throw your fans under the bus day one. You can't say, oh, you guys got to – like what I just did, he can't do. I don't have to perform in front of those fans. He does. You don't want animosity already created. There's already enough. Fans read the stuff. They listen to us. They know all the rumors about Russell and his time in Seattle. So they don't want that to start to, oh, he responded negatively to that. He is kind of a you-know-what. Maybe he just shines for the cameras, and when they're off, he's kind of not a nice guy. He can't do that. Now, he also can't say, loved it, bring it, we need all the help we can get. Because what are you're empowering Empower Field. You can't give them that. I'm telling you, Broncos country, it's cute and adorable, fun little neat story that we all get to talk about today. Do not make that the norm. Do not make that something that is a shtick at Empower Field. Incomplete, great, do that. But you can't make that, because it will hurt this team. Once they figure it out, you can't, even when, like, I can envision this fan base, even when it gets figured out, still counting down the clock at 10, once it hits 10. I could see that happening. So Angel, I actually have no problem with that answer. Because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You have to kind of play that right down the middle, because you don't want to give them kudos. Nathaniel Hackett did, though. Like, he said, hey, maybe it helped. I don't know. And that's the thing. Hackett's a nice guy. He's awesome. He's never going to say, I mean, he's kind of like Russ in that regard. He's going to say a lot of the nice things. I could sense that Russ was frustrated with that, though. I was frustrated. I was like, man, how bad has it gotten for Russell Wilson that his home crowd is booing him and they're counting down the play clock so that he can get the play in? B-Rad, new ownership group, just saw the coach they didn't hire get booed for 3 hours in the home opener. Hackett's seat is warming up. And what did I do in the offseason? If this season struggles, I asked the question, would he be on the hot seat? And you guys laughed at me. He's a brand new coach. Because we didn't know. He was doing all these unorthodox things in the training camp. We all kind of had this gut feeling that maybe it was not going to work, that it was going to set this team up for some kind of failure. And that's why I asked the question. And look at that. 2 weeks in, and more than 60% of the hooligans are saying that you've already lost faith in Nathaniel Hackett. Dixon says, Wilson is a master of not answering a question in a way that may come across negative. You're right. He is. He's a master at that. Love it or hate it. I didn't hate his response there, because, again, you can't rip the fans to shreds, but you also can't empower that. We'll take a quick break. The Boo Birds, did you like it? Are you a booer? Do you boo? I always think it's funny when you actually see people booing. Like, you hear a booing, it's one thing, but then you see a guy and he's just got his thumb. Hey, boo you! Boo this man! Boo! It's just so funny. Like, you don't look good, dude. You don't look good. You don't look like a person anybody wants to hang around with. I'm not a boo guy. I get it. You're trying to make a message. You're trying to get it out there. I'll read this text real quick. Was it just me, or did it seem like the Broncos were going out of their way to get him a touchdown pass when it feels like they easily could have run the ball and scored inside the five? Yeah. What's the thought process there? Is Nathaniel Hackett feeling pressure from Russell Wilson, wanting to give him the stats, give him the glory, rather than giving it to me, the best 1-2 combo in the NFL, 26 minutes after 11 o'clock, to boo or not to boo, to count or not to count? How did you guys feel about it? Did you like the counting? I tweeted that I didn't, and you guys ripped me to shreds for it. So give me your thoughts. 26 after 11 o'clock. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Getting rocking and rolling here on a Monday. And it's a win. Broncos get the win. Why doesn't it feel like it? We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Third down and 10. The fans counting down the play clock. Wilson stumbles, goes down.
You're hearing the counting. Was that when Russell falls down too? Gets sacked. I just can't see that it helps. I mean, so when you go to, you've been to a Nuggets game, right?
Yes.
The fans will count down when the other team has the ball. The shot clock to try to throw them off. They'll mess it up a little bit too. And they'll try to mess with them because you want to try to rush them a little bit. Now, again, I get it. The Broncos need to be rushed. They do. But I can't imagine a quarterback, Russell Wilson, brand new career for him, essentially. Brand new start with Denver. And you're your first time home, and you're trying to get this all figured out. We could all save the training camp, preseason stuff. It happened. It's what it is. You got to recover now. You're trying to figure this out with your coach. And you're trying to make audibles the line of scrimmage, and you got this fan base all counting in unison, counting it down, pissed off at you, while some guys are probably hearing that, getting distracted, some aren't. Brady, they're professionals. Yeah, but nobody's ever dealt with this before.
Not in your home stadium, no. Like, boos are, you'll see that every once in a while. I feel like I've seen it in Denver for a number of years now, just booing while the team's on the field. And, like, I get it. It's frustrating. There's no real offensive identity for this team, and the lack of communication, the play calling issues, the timing of everything, it just seems like they're two steps behind.
Yeah.
And when the crowd is, telling you, hey, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like, there's a clock in the end zone that Russell should be able to see.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating.
I don't see that it's a positive. A lot of people walked away and said it was a positive. Good for the fans. They helped
it's
out.
It's a gimmicky little fan thing, and like you said, I agree with you. You can't let this carry on into, it can't become a trend.
That's what
Denver.
I'm worried about. I get it yesterday. I get it. But this can't be your thing. You have to create, this is where the fans are important. You have to create home field advantage. And that's not an advantage. That's feeling pressure not only from the clock, not only from the defense, not only from your coach trying to get a play into you. That's feeling now pressure from your fans literally during the game. I mean, the Boo Birds came out fast, too. I was a little shocked by that. Dixon says, it's got to be a little embarrassing to have your home crowd mocking you by counting down the clock. Yeah. It's not a good look. Doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy if I'm a Denver Bronco at this point. You have the fans basically, we know better than you guys. I mean, you saw Twitter. You saw how crazy it was. Hey, at least the fans know what the clock is. At least they know better than the Broncos do. And listen, do they really know? the Broncos should know the clock is ticking down. They just can't get the play in fast enough. And Russell's trying to audible at the line of scrimmage, changing things up with like 5 seconds left. It's because the play didn't come in originally with the options of audible. You know, a lot of times it's here's the play call and here's what you know you can audible into. You can't have this become a trend.
Is there a concern about maybe Russell or Hackett not feeling 100% comfortable in the offense, yeah, that they have to take their time getting the play call? Like, maybe Russ has to look at his wristband a little extra longer, and you would think 5-10 seconds of that first 30 you get on the play clock, get the call in, Russ gives it to the huddle, you line up with about 15 seconds left, preferably, make your quick adjustments and snap with like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Not that, waiting until the very last second to snap the ball.
This all goes back to preseason. And now, what did we say? If the Broncos just breezed by Seattle and Houston, they're 2-0, they won by double digits both games, and we didn't have these issues, then none of us will be talking about training camp. I said that, right? I said, you'll just forget it and go, wow, guess it worked out. They rewarded him. They didn't really need it. It worked out for him. But we also said that if you have issues, and we all agree there are major issues here, then we're gonna go back and start talking about preseason and how it was handled. And that's exactly what's happening. It seems that the preseason and getting the play calls in, wouldn't it have been nice to see against, who was it, the Bills or whatever? Not nice to see, but wouldn't you have rather see a couple of delay of games in that game than what you saw in Houston or against Houston in Seattle? Get that ironed out. Know that that's an issue then, and know that you got to start working on it now. Now they know it's an issue, but you're 1-1, and you have a hungry as hell Jimmy Garoppolo coming to town with a pretty good defense.
Who calls the plays, like, directly? Is it Hackett or is it
right
DOC?
Now, I think it's Hackett. With this style, typically, you know, some coaches like to have an OC and a DC. They're truly OCs and DCs. Some teams, like Vic Fangio, he was the DC / head coach, so he called all the defensive plays. Right now, Nathaniel Hackett is calling the plays. He's the guy calling them, getting them in, and the argument is now, you know, do you take that away? And you have your offensive coordinator and Russell Wilson kind of more or less work together. You're just the guy that says, we're going to run it here, we're going to pass it here, and then they call the play. Because right now, it's tough. Texter, also wonder why they decided to punt after McManus easily drilled that field goal in the delay game. Yeah, he did. He easily made it. And then 5 yards back, and you just thought Brandon McManus could make a 64-yarder in Seattle. And then you go back 5 yards, it would have been a 57-yarder. What's the thought process there, bro?
I mean, wasn't, you know, 46 left hash. It's got to be there every time.
I guess it's got to be there. If that's the sweet spot. If it's not there, more or less, we're not kicking it. It's not good. I'm trying. Listen, I like Nathaniel Hackett as a guy, listening to him. I mean, rarely do I dislike somebody, you know, that we've talked to, or I got a chance to talk to him last week. You rarely dislike these guys. You root for them, obviously. I know we're not supposed to root, Angel, but I do because, you know, I want to talk about winning football. It's way more fun. This is miserable right now. CU's awful. CSU's awful, but I still think there's light at the end of the tunnel this season for CSU. For CU, I do not. For UNC, I certainly think there's light there. They beat Lamar on the road. Got a little scary there in the end, but big interception late. I want to talk about winning football. And what we've seen in 2 weeks from Nathaniel Hackett are some pretty major flaws in how he does things. 39 minutes after the hour. More on this when we come back. Also, Rick George puts out a statement that doesn't really do anything. It just says, hey, you're going to be miserable, but keep coming to games, bro. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.